Hey everyone, thanks for joining us online today. We are missing you in this Memorial Day weekend. And we want to pause in this weekend and we want to say thank you to those heroes. We know that Memorial Day was established years ago right after the Civil War, and the purpose behind Memorial Day was for us to be reminded of the freedom that we have as a nation, the understanding of people who sacrificed their lives so that you and I could enjoy freedom. You know, it's interesting because in this day and age, we have a different set of heroes. And we are so grateful to all the doctors and all the nurses and the medical personnel who put their lives on the line every day on the front line, taking care of individuals and patients and taking care of us. You know, I know that whenever this idea of Memorial Day was founded right after the Civil War, that there was not really even a thought that someday this would happen, that we would be celebrating the medical professionals. But I'm glad this Memorial Day weekend to be celebrating you. And so thank you. If you're a person that goes to work and has the opportunity to be a hero in our community, thank you for being a hero. You know, the idea of Memorial Day was for us to celebrate those heroes who make us have the opportunity for freedom. And what's interesting is that in these days, I know it was never even a thought back in the Civil War or even in the Revolutionary War, this understanding or idea that freedom may entail something as simple as a face mask. Recently, I was in a local establishment that required everyone to come into their establishment to wear one of these face masks. And so while I was doing my shopping there, an individual walked in to a door that wasn't assigned for them to walk into, and then secondly, had no face mask on. And I watched as an employee kindly said, "Hey, our company policy is for you to wear face masks." And the individual became very irate and started to say words that we don't say in church very often. As a matter of fact, as I watched this thing unfold, it was interesting to me because I remember the individual saying something like this: "I am getting my freedoms violated, and you're making me wear a mask." You know, it's interesting, this understanding for many of us that a mask can be part of a conversation about whether or not we're a free country. And what I recognize for so many of us is that we spend so much of our time on places like social media, in conversations with people that we're around, telling them whether or not we feel that we're free, even to the place that for some of us, we've become evangelists, if we will, of what is freedom and what is not freedom. It's become our mission. Now, if you may think, it's not really our mission. My mission is to be this or to do these things. The truth is it's what you talk about all the time. It's the conversations that you have with the people who are around you. It's the things that you appear on your Facebook feed. It's the you letting everyone else know that your opinion and your idea of what freedom is really the understanding of that moment. And one of the things that gets lost in the middle of this is a very simple understanding. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about this idea of for my neighbor. It's Crossroads Community Church here in Kokomo, Indiana. We love our neighbors. And for hundreds of you, over the course of these last few weeks, you have joined us as we've walked in this journey to encourage you, and you've encouraged your neighbors. And so today what I want to do is I want to ask a question about church, a question that I know many people want to hear because you've asked this question, and it's very simply this: what is the mission of the church? What is it that a church is supposed to be doing? Because most of us hear of churches that do lots of different things in different ways and different ideas. And we hear that maybe the church is supposed to be about growing people up, Maybe the church is supposed to be about taking care of its members. Maybe the church is supposed to be about helping the poor. Maybe the church is supposed to be about making sure that rules and regulations are followed. Maybe the church is supposed to be the centerpiece of morality. You see, I think all of us have this idea of what the mission of the church is, and much like freedom, most of us tend to bring our ideas to the front, and in this conversation, the only idea that really matters is Jesus's. And in Matthew, the 28th chapter, Jesus had some final words that he closes out the book of Matthew with for his followers, in which he says, this is the mission of what it is that I want you to do from here on out. Listen to these words found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, a focus of where we're going to be today. He says this: Jesus came to his disciples and he said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven as well as here on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you, and be sure of this: I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me just lay this out here quickly for a moment. It is God's mission to reach everyone in the world. But if you are a Christian, it is your mission and my mission to partner with God in this. This is why the passage of scripture that I just read from Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is known as the Great Commission. And the idea behind this is that you and me join together with what God is doing. And I love how Jesus begins this passage and how he ends this passage. Final words that he shares with his disciples is he starts with saying, look, all the authority, every bit of authority that God gives out is already given to me. And then he ends this passage by saying, and I'm going to be with you. You know, I love this idea of what he tells us to do. And today what I want to do is I want to unpack this co-mission that we are with God. You see, he begins by telling us to go. And the idea here is that as we are going, it's not a matter of being in a specific spot. It is in the fact of understanding that you are already in a spot and how you go from there. And then what he tells us as a part of this is that this is an all-hands-on-deck proposition. This isn't for some pastor or lay leaders. This is for anyone and everyone who calls themselves a Christian. We walk with people as you walk with Jesus. It's the co-mission that we get to join in to be a part of what God's called us to do. Paul would put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, with these words. He would say, God is making his appeal through us, through you and through me. He says, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. In this passage, he talks about, right before this passage, the understanding that you and I are Christ's ambassadors, that we stand with Christ, that we're representatives of his. Now, I don't know if any of you that are watching this online is an ambassador to a nation somewhere in the world. Perhaps you are. But I know this, that if I was an ambassador, one of the things that my job is to represent the country that I represent. That my job would be as an ambassador to make sure that the country I represent, that when they give me some kind of understanding, some kind of a marching order, some kind of a position of where we stand as a country, that my job as the ambassador is that I'm representing the people that I represent and I'm bringing forth the understanding of what it is I've been told to do by the President of the United States, by Congress. I have been told what to do in this moment. Most of us on this conversation today would take that role very seriously. And so today, I want us to talk about this idea of going. And the question that I want to ask us is this, is that while we go, what are we supposed to do? And Jesus was very clear in this. He gave us a real clear directive in what we're supposed to do. And clearly, here's what he says. He says, we're to make disciples of all nations. Your job and my job is all people in all places at all times. All nations is an interesting piece because for Jesus to bring this out, he would have been one of the first, if not the first, religious leader ever to talk about the understanding that his religion wasn't about inward focus, the idea of did you get it right, which most religious backgrounds talk about that. Am I holy? Did I do the right things? Am I the right person? Am I doing these things? But Jesus, the leader of this incredible movement known as Christianity, would talk about Christianity being an outward force, not an inward focus. This idea of an outward force, of going wherever it is that we go, of being a representative, an ambassador every time we go, isn't a focus on me and my thing. It's a focus on you and your thing. You see, the simple piece of disciple, which is not necessarily a word that you and I use in our language, is somebody who's a learner. It's somebody who is a constant learner. Now, most of us have been raised in a system that whenever we hear the word learn, we enter the idea of information. I want to learn this, and so what do? I get information. And much like many of us, and I was this way when I was a student in school, oftentimes I would gather the information together, I would stick it into a short-term memory bank in my head, and I would regurgitate that information on a piece of paper or to someone who wanted that information, and then as soon as I handed in the test or the quiz, as soon as the information no longer was of use to me, I let it pretty much drop out of my mind. You see, that's not really the idea of what a disciple is. Most of us have probably heard a guy like me talk about some things about church and Jesus. And the problem that occurs for most of us is this, is that we've collected a lot of information. If I were to say to you, what's your favorite Bible story? Many of you would know exactly a favorite Bible story. If I were to ask you, what's your favorite verse? You would immediately pull out a verse. But the question here isn't about a favorite story or a favorite verse or a favorite commandment or a favorite idea. It's really more about the idea of transformation, not information. Because if I have just the right tool, if I have just the right piece of information, it can transform everything about my world. It's a modern day approach to mentoring or coaching that most of us see. You know, coaches are constantly trying to get the edge for their kids, and it's understanding the idea of this is the one thing you need to be able to get the edge so that you can be a better athlete, so that you can be a better student, so that you can be better at whatever it is that you're trying to do. And for Jesus, he basically says to us, here's the deal. Join me on this mission. I'll reach those people, but I need you to join me. And as you join me, you go. And as you learn, you find other fellow learners. And that is exactly what you're doing today. Now, you may be asking, so we make disciples, but the question is, what is it that we're supposed to do? You see, I don't know about you, but I've read a ton of books about disciple making and about approaches and ideas and how somebody grows or doesn't grow and what it is that they need to do and how they need to do it. And some of those are connected in some great ways, and others of those really don't tend to work. But the idea for us of what Jesus is saying is very simple. Number one, he says, here's what I want you to do. Two things. Number one, baptize them. You go, and as people see transformation in you and are attracted to you, then they're going to say, what is it you have? And whenever they're ready to say yes to me, baptize them. Now you may say, well, why baptism? What's the reason behind baptism? Well, there are three big reasons behind why somebody should be baptized. The first one, Jesus did it, and he tells us to do it right here in this passage. He says, go, make disciples, baptizing them, so you're supposed to be part of the process. Number two, baptism makes my faith public. It's an outward expression of an inward faith. The day that you said yes to Jesus is the day that salvation came into your life. Baptism isn't what saves you. It's the opportunity for you to let the rest of the world know, I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, you've already seen it today in this service that we put together, how one person took their next step in baptism. Last year at Crossroads Community Church, we watched over 155 people say yes to their next decision in making this idea of taking the step of baptizing. The third thing about baptism is it's a powerful symbol of what Jesus did for us. Here at Crossroads, as you see, we put people under the water, and the idea is to represent the sacrifice that Christ made, that he died. And then we bring them up out of the water and rose again. And that symbol of what Jesus did for us is a powerful reminder to every single one of us in these days. But not only are we supposed to baptize folks, but here's what you're doing if you're a disciple. He says this, number two, teach these new disciples to obey the commands Jesus gave to us. Here's the problem. Some of us right now have automatically disqualified ourselves because we're saying, I don't know all those commands. I don't know all the different things that Jesus talked about. I don't know when he said, here's the command, and here's the command, and there, I heard there was 360-some commandments in the Old Testament, and so I don't memorize those. So here's the disqualifier. I'm not going out there, and I'm not telling other people, and I'm not being a difference maker because I don't know all the commands. And so you may be asking the question, what are all the commands? In the next 2 hours that we have, I'm going to read for you. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I love Jesus' way of putting it simple. And he did this in Matthew chapter 22, and he put it down to just two commands. He says this, you must love the Lord your God with everything you got, your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's the greatest commandment. So number one, love God. And then number two, he says, very simply, it's equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then listen to what he says here. The entire law and all of its demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So here's what I want to do. Let me sum up all of the commandments that Jesus is talking about. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Then here's the two things that you can do. This is what it is that you're called to do and be every single day. Number one, love God. Love him with everything you have. When you make a mistake, allow his grace to come in and get back up again and say, God, I'm going to love you with everything I've got. And then the second thing, love people. This passage of scripture that I just read begs me to ask this question as we close out our time today. And the question is simply this, who is my neighbor? It's a pretty good question. Let's go back to the passage of scripture that we're working with today in Matthew 28. And the very first action word that Jesus uses in this passage of scripture, he says this, go. He says, go. And the understanding of this go is simply this, go as you are going. Here's what I love about this, is that many of us in this understanding today, whether you're watching this in your living room, whether you're watching this at the kitchen table or in the computer room, whatever it is, or on a phone, the problem for so many of us is that we get focused on the world peace. And we get focused on, oh, so someday I'm going to take a missions trip to Japan, or I'm going to take a missions trip to Israel, or I'm going to take a missions trip to Africa or South America, and then I will do exactly what Jesus did. And you and I both know that the day that's going to happen may never come. And this is why Jesus said, go, and the original word that he's using is simply this, as you are going. Here's the point. Your neighbor is the very person that you run into every single day of your life. For some of you, they're across the fence in the house right beside you. For others of you, it's the person that you see every time that you take a step inside a Kmart, a Kroger, or a Walmart, or a Meijer, or a Target. For others of you, it's the person that you see at the gas station, or the person that you see at the movie theater. For others of you, it's the very people who live under your roof in your house. For others of us, it's my parents, or my sister, or brother, an aunt, or an uncle. You know that in the daily scope of your life, that you have times and moments that you go see these people. For a lot of us, it may be where we work, the very people that we work beside. And the understanding of what we're trying to do here and the purpose of this series is to give you an opportunity for you to be able to define who your neighbor is and have a conversation with your neighbor that you never thought possible. So today, I'm asking you this final question. In my daily life, who has God put in my path? This is my neighbor. Is it your kid? Is it your spouse? Is it the person who lives beside you? Is it a coworker? Another family member? Pause for a second and ask yourself, who would this person be? That if I were to just do life with them, if they saw me, and they already see me all the time, and they knew that I was different and there was something different about me, this is who my neighbor is. Here's what I would like you to do. Number one, find a piece of paper somewhere and write it down. Is it the person that lives right beside you? Is their name Scott or Susan or Tom? Is their name Kevin or is their name Randy? Who is it that lives right beside you? Is it your son or your daughter that you're thinking in this moment, they're my neighbor? Or is it your aunt or your uncle or a coworker that you're with, maybe a coworker named Rachel? Or maybe your neighbor is a friend named CJ. Or it's a buddy that you get together with regularly named Stephen. Whoever your neighbor is, I would encourage you just to write that name down. And then here's what I'm going to ask you to do. The second thing is this. Pray for them this week. Just pray for them. God, I want to pray for CJ. God, I'm going to pray for my friend Stephen. Just one neighbor. That's all I'm asking. One name. And then write it down, and then this week, every day, spend a moment and just pray for them. This is the way you begin to bring Jesus to the rest of the world. Join him in bringing Jesus to the rest of the world. Go as you are going. God's already given you the foot paths that you walk every day. And even though you may not think those came from God, the truth is you interact with people that God knows exactly why he's connected you to them. Let me pray for you as you step out in this adventure. Jesus, right now, you've placed a name in our mind. God, help us when this video is over to get up, write that name down, and pray for that name every day this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.